Welcome, good morning, Stone Altar Church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this Reformation Sunday. It's great to be together with all of you. Well, it's great to be with all of you, even if we have to sit a little further spaced apart. It's wonderful to have all of you here. Starting off with some announcements, we've got the Bible study here on Ephesians on Tuesday. What time is that on Tuesday?
7
o'clock?
Yeah.
P.M. And the Shady Oak Bible study this week will be virtual, so it will not be meeting in person this week. Let us begin our worship service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship this morning comes from Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Now let us have a moment of silence as we continue to prepare for worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather together to worship you. We ask that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you. We ask that you would direct our attention to your word. And we pray that we would be filled with your word, and that we would find hope in it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God with our songs and praises.
Thank you.
Let us continue to worship God as we come to the Lord with the confession of our sins, and also hearing the words of forgiveness. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for this sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, introduce us to knowledge of you, and overcome, and join obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let us also confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here today. We pray for those who are unable to worship in person with us. We think of those who have been isolated because of this pandemic. We pray that you would comfort those who are feeling depressed, anxious, and lonely from being shut in. We thank you for your promise to be with us always. We pray for all of the leaders around the world, that you would give them your wisdom and discernment as they try to keep us all safe. We thank you for the gift of your church, that you have provided a place for us to hear your word, praise your name, confess our sins, and receive absolution. We pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. We ask that you would open our ears to receive your word this morning. And now we pray as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I welcome up Pastor John to bring us the message today.
I'd like you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. Message text for this morning is Psalm 46. I read in Jesus' name. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Congregation, may be seated. There's a curious phrase in this psalm, and it's in verse 4. In the midst of all this calamity of mountains falling into the heart of the sea and foaming and roaring waters making mountains quake, you think about how much volume and pressure and velocity of water it takes to make a mountain wiggle. The destructive force of water. And then, followed up by that, in verse 4, if you have your Bibles open, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. It's curious for a couple of reasons. One is that there isn't a natural river in Jerusalem. Well, what's the psalmist talking about? And the other curious part is, it's put in contrast or juxtaposition with all this powerful source of forces of destroying water. See, in this psalm, we see all kinds of pieces, things of destruction. We see forces of nature in their destructive expression. We see the forces of other people, of nations, are in uproar. And we also see another evidence of the curse. It's stated a little more subtly, in sort of a roundabout way. But it says in the second verse, therefore we will not fear. God is our refuge. It starts out with this statement of assurance. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. That would imply that fear is exactly what we do. I don't know about you, but when I see storm clouds gathering, the kind that where in the summer those dark clouds that get kind of a greenish tint to them, you know, when it gets that sort of greenish tint, that this means business. You better be looking for shelter. You better be looking for a place you won't end up like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, with your house turning into an aircraft. You need a refuge. These forces of nature come against us. They're signs of the curse. The curse that human beings in this world that God created good, initially perfect, no longer have a perfect world to live in because we spoiled it. If you read Genesis 3, it tells you all about it. The creatures weren't satisfied with the command of the Creator, and it messed everything up. While the role of humans in how much the degree they can affect climate change is a controversial subject these days. The scripture says that the initial catastrophic climate change was human produced. We read in Genesis chapter 3 that no longer do we have this beautiful garden that just grows this abundant food. Now Adam has to work hard for his food, and it's going to be harder and toilsome than it was meant to be. And the ground is going to produce thorns and thistles. And when all's said and done, Adam's going to turn to dirt himself. He's going to die. The curse, the evidence of it is around us, and it causes us to fear. And that was the human response in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. They realized they were naked, they became ashamed, and they hid. They were afraid. They were trying to hide from their Creator. They fear. And so here the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Well, what changed? Adam and Eve were afraid of their Creator. They had sinned. And they were hiding because of their fear. But now, something is different. God comes close, and it's not a source of fear. The reminders of the curse are around us, nature around us, nations around us. The nation we live in is an uproar, if you haven't noticed. The nations around us are in uproar, if you haven't noticed. And throughout human history, there's times of relative peace and times of terrible upheaval. World wars, dominations, evil empires, and the like. Nations are in uproar. People don't just get along naturally. And we ourselves are subject to fear. All these results of the curse, of our sin, our collective sin as human beings and our own personal sin, we add to the problem. And yet, God, the righteous one, who hates sin, is declared to be our refuge, the place where we find shelter and safety. And right after we are reminded of the destructive power of water in verse 3, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake at their surging. Then this 180 happens as we go to verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. A river whose streams make glad the city of God. Well, they're not talking about a physical river here, because we know there isn't a physical river in the city of Jerusalem, the place where God dwells in his temple that was built there at the time of this David writing this. The other Psalms. And yet, what is this river? We get some clues, as if you want to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. In this vision shown to the prophet Ezekiel, this picture of a river is picked up in association with the temple. And this is a vision here. A man brought me, I'm reading from Ezekiel 47:1, a man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. I saw water coming from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate, led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee-deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now the river it was now a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." Just a little geography review here. This, if you go east from Jerusalem, and I've been there, I've seen it, you go over a big hill, Mount of Olives. This is where Jesus came toward Jerusalem as he entered in triumph on that Palm Sunday. You keep going east, you go through this dry land. There are no trees east of Jerusalem, naturally. Once you get past the Mount of Olives and get farther east, it's just this dry, rolling, it's like a moonscape. No vegetation. I saw there's some shepherds herding sheep and goats out there. Shepherds said, I'm thinking, what are those animals eating? There is no vegetation out here. It's dry. And this is being described as a place where there's a river flowing and trees grow. Now, you don't see a tree really until you get to the springs of Jericho on the far eastern end of this kind of Judean wilderness in between Jerusalem and the Jordan River. But if this river that Ezekiel's talking about is flowing east through this dry wasteland, becoming deep until it gets to the sea, and then here he's talking about the Dead Sea, this puddle of incredibly salty water that's 1,300 feet below sea level. I've been in the Dead Sea. The salt is so concentrated there, you don't want to get it in your eyes. It stings like crazy. But it is so concentrated that you can sit in the water without a raft and sit up holding a newspaper, and the paper doesn't get wet. It holds you up. That much is so dense. Nothing can live in it. Not normal life forms. It's called the Dead Sea for a reason. But what happens when this river coming from the temple reaches the sea? Whatever it touches, it becomes alive. It becomes teeming with living creatures. This ground that was dead, a symbol of the curse, all of a sudden comes alive. Why? Because this water from the temple, this living water, comes in contact. There is a stream that makes, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We've got the place of God's habitation, where he desires to be close to his people, where there's separation made because of our sin. There is a curtain between the Holy of Holies and where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God's presence was to dwell, a curtain separating God's presence from the rest of the people so that they weren't evaporated from his holiness. And there's a stream coming out, curious statement. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to John chapter 4. You're curious how this river comes from a place where there is not naturally water and turns something that's normally dead into life. What's going on with this? Well, here's the key in John chapter 4. Jesus is in the area of Samaria at a well that originally was dug by Jacob, one of the patriarchs. And yes, Jesus, a Jew, asked a woman, a Samaritan woman no less, for a drink. And it says right there in John 4:9 that Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus was crossing a line here. He was associating with someone the rules said he shouldn't associate with. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can we get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. It's true. Jacob's well is still there. You can still get a drink out of it. I did. And later that day, I was thirsty again." Jesus is right on. You drink that water, you get thirsty again like any other water. "But whoever drinks of the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." There is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Jerusalem, the city of God. Jerusalem is the name given to the bride of Christ, the church, those who believe in Jesus, you and I. There is a stream, a river whose streams make glad the city of God. That river has a name. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who comes and faces the curse and takes it upon himself so that no longer do we need to fear. No longer do we need to fear that the forces of nature will do us in. Yes, we can still die in a flash flood. We can still drown. But we have the assurance that in Jesus we'll be raised again, never to die again. Yes, we can suffer the rage of the nations. Christians have throughout the ages being persecuted. We read about it in the book of Acts. Herod put James, the brother of John, to death by the sword. And others he delivered. But whether they were delivered or whether or not, just like Daniel's friends, we know God can save us from this furnace, but even if he doesn't, they're not going to bow down to another god. Because they have hope in their refuge and strength. The one who is greater than the power of surging waters, quaking mountains, raging nations, or even the fear that we have in our own hearts. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. There is a river. There is a source of life, of joy, of peace, of safety, of comfort, of salvation, of resurrection. His name is Jesus. And we read about him and his relationship with his beautiful bride in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. In Revelation 21, it says, "There I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. The God of Jacob is our fortress, an ever-present help in trouble. God is within her. She will not fall,' the psalmist says in Psalm 46. 'Now the dwelling of God,' in Revelation, 'is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Praise the Lord. There are days when we see how broken the old order is more than others. And this gives us hope. Therefore, we will not fear. Come what may, literally, hell or high water. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, God's people, the church. He who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And there it is, at the center of the throne of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem, in this habitation of God, face to face with his people. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderer, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake, burning sulfur. This is the second death. But then the angel showed me, verse chapter 22, the river of the water of life, and here it is, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The nations are an uproar, but they will be healed. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. The nations, as we read in Revelation chapter 7, there's people from every nation, tribe, tongue, language before the throne worshiping him. The nations are no longer in uproar before the throne of the Lamb. They are recognizing him as God and themselves as his servants. Now the nations gather in peace before the Prince of Peace, who made peace through the shedding of his blood. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, write these down. Write, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Must soon take place. Presently, we still see the forces of nature. We see water in destructive forms. We see nations rage. We see our own hearts fear and accuse us. But there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Jesus said to that woman back in Samaria at the well, regarding this worship of the Lamb, he said, believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain, there's a place of worship there up in Samaria, or in Jerusalem, the physical Jerusalem that you can still visit today. No, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Later in the New Testament, it says that you, speaking to believers, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Us as believers gathered together, us as individuals, are temples of the Holy Spirit. God dwells within you. The promise made, God is within her, back in Psalm 46, she will not fall. It's not just about someone else, it's about you. God is within you. You will not fall. God will help you at break of day. The Lord Almighty is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. And there's a river whose streams make you glad. His name is Jesus. Let's pray. Oh Lord, wherever our hearts accuse us, wherever the evil one assails us with his accusations, wherever we feel the aches and pains of a world that's in labor pains, increasing, Lord, up to the time of your return. May we hear the word that you are with us, that you are a fortress, that you have made full atonement for all our sins. May we drink deeply again today and each day from the water of life, you, Jesus. And be glad. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Please rise as you are able as we sing our closing hymn, In the Garden. standing for our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.